Now we continue in our Revelation Bible study. We're working through section 27, Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 17, the devil's losing battles. And we're picking up in point H, Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the presence of the serpent. Now we have already covered in previous segments that the woman is Israel, the child is Jesus Christ, and the wilderness place is Bozra in Edom, and the timing is the 3.5 year Great Tribulation, which is the second half of the tribulation period. And we continue in verse 15, reading, "So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman," that is Israel, "that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth." So even nature cooperates with Israel as she flees to her place of refuge. Of course, God is the God of nature, and he always takes care of his people. And here we see him taking care of the believing remnant of Israel, ensuring their safe passage at the midpoint of the tribulation into Bozra of Edom. And of course, when they come out, they will be more than safe, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself will have returned, and he will be at their head. And the chapter closes out with verse 17, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So here we have the direct satanic persecution of both natural ethnic Israel and spiritual Israel, that is the Israel of God, those who have the same faith as Abraham. And we mark a distinction here because there are those who have the faith of Abraham, both Jew and Gentile, who are the believing remnant as a whole. But then there is also believing Israel, which maintains its ethnic identity, and to whom specific promises in the scripture have been given. Now we have a special study that we want to pick up here, and this is with regard to the names of Satan in Revelation chapter 12. First, he's called the Red Dragon, the instigator of murder and bloodshed. And we find a little bit more about him in Revelation chapter 6 in verse 4. Revelation chapter 6 in verse 4, where we read, "Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword." And this is one of the first four seal judgments, which deal with the work of the evil one, who is also called a dragon in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, verse 7, and again in verse 13. Now, on this same vein, we also have a reference in the book of John. John chapter 8 in verse 44. John chapter 8 in verse 44, which reads, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So here we see that the devil, the red dragon, did not just become a murderer in the book of Revelation, but in fact, he was a murderer from the beginning. It was his work in the instigation of Cain and the murder of his brother Abel, which was the first murder in human history. But it was also at the instigation of the devil that death came into the human race. And we know that it was the devil who instigated Eve back in the garden. And of course, Adam went along for the ride. And we find that Adam is the one who is recorded to be more culpable. Satan is also called the serpent of old, who by cunning instigates sin. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we'll go ahead and read it. We just alluded to it a moment ago. Sometimes we get a little bit ahead of ourselves here, but Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 reads, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Well, he's also called the devil. Satan is also, he's called the red dragon. He's called the serpent of old. He's also called the devil, the troubler, an enemy of God and his people. And we just read John chapter 8 and verse 44, and we read how Jesus spoke about his word, which is a word in his work, which is in opposition to God's word in God's work. We also have another scripture in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 27. Ephesians is that short book in the New Testament right after the book of Galatians and before Philippians. And we read here, "Nor give place to the devil." So believers are warned not to give the devil any place in their lives. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 26, 2 Timothy 2:26 reads, "And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of this devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." So the devil leads us into the place where we're out of the will of God. And when we're out of the will of God, we're operating in sin and we're actually doing Satan's work, whether we realize it or not. Well, this one who's called the red dragon, the serpent of old, and the devil is also called Satan, the tempter. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 in verse 1, we see him instigating David to operate outside the will of God. 1 Chronicles, that's in the history book section of the Bible, chapter 21 in verse 1. Got a new Bible here, and sometimes the pages stick, so I got to break this thing in good. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, 1. "Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." So Satan is the one, he's the tempter who tempts folks to do those things that are out of the will of God and in opposition to the will of God. And we read about him also in Job chapter 1. In verse 6, Job chapter 1, in verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God," and this is the Bar Elohim, these are the angels who came to present themselves before the Lord, "and Satan also came among them." So here we have this, the tempter and the adversary coming in to put Job on trial. Of course, Satan had his designs to bring down Job's testimony, but God's designs were to reinforce Job's testimony and to be glorified. And of course, we know that God always wins in the end. We go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4 in verse 10, which is within the context of the 40 days of temptation that Jesus endured in the wilderness for the purpose of proving his impeccability, that he was incapable of sin and that he would be victorious over it. And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And again, in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 23, Matthew 16, 23, Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So Peter had actually taken Jesus aside and rebuked him, right? Probably not a good idea to rebuke God. Well, he takes him aside and he rebukes him, saying, "This isn't going to happen to you. You're not going to go to Jerusalem and die." And when Peter says that, he's basically saying the same thing that Satan was saying to Jesus in that wilderness temptation. "Jesus, there's another way." And he's trying to tempt Jesus outside the will of the Father. And we find Satan again in Luke chapter 22 in verse 31. Luke 22 in verse 31. Pretty long chapter here at the end, dealing with the passion of the Lord. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." So Satan has asked Jesus, asked permission of God. You see, Satan can't do anything without God's permission. And Jesus warns Peter, whose name was Simon, that Satan is coming, and he's going to be bringing some real serious temptations upon him. Now, this red dragon, serpent of old, devil and Satan, is also called the accuser, and he disparages men before God daily. And we talked about him in the book of Job, back in that passage in Job chapter 1. He's not only called Satan, but the accuser. But we find him in another place in the Old Testament book of Zechariah. In the book of Zechariah chapter 3, in verse 1, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, a theophany. And Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And he's accusing Joshua the high priest of being unworthy to enter into the kingdom of God. But Jesus says, "Hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute." And he hadn't done it yet in time. But God exists outside of time. And Jesus says, "You know what? Hey, wait a minute. It's as good as done. And when I go to that cross, I'm going to be paying for that man's sin. He's a believer in me, and he's mine. And Satan, you can't touch him." And so he's clothed with rich robes. He's made clean. So here we have the names of Satan in Revelation chapter 12. The red dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, Satan, and the accuser of the brethren is what he's called here. And our antidote to Satan is Christ Jesus, God the Son himself, who is able to get us through, you and me, any temptation. For all temptation that is common to man, God is able to bring you through, dear friends. And the Lord has said that if you're a believer, then you are an overcomer. Satan has no power over you. The only power he might have over you is the power you give him with your stinking sin, when you decide to go back in and do the same stinking sins again. You see, the scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And who's the prince of the power of the world, right? Satan. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 21, to him who overcomes I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Our antidote to Satan is Christ Jesus, and through him we have the victory.